It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, how was your long weekend?
Atamaria, Rachel. Oh, it was nice to have a long weekend. Beautiful weather. The last day of work, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and okay on Sunday, and then it started to close in, and it's still closed in at the moment, but not getting the rain we want. But it was good. No, I did a bit of hard physical work on the farm, which always makes I turn up at the office sort of limping and complaining about aches in my back. But apart from that,
Sounds like it was productive then. Good long weekend.
Yeah. No, it's good to catch up with a few jobs around the place. If you've got a block of land, there's always work to do.
Exactly. Well, there has been a few changes for the whole country, but it does affect us here in Auckland over the last week. Most significantly, we're at orange now, which is good and also causing a bit of anxiety for people. I'm curious to hear what the council is doing when it comes to masking in the facilities that people will be able to access, like the museum, some of the other council spaces. What's the deal there?
Yeah, you still need to wear a mask if you go to the museum and library, and that's just a sensible precaution. And you'd expect that in the public areas of the council building, you know, the lifts, etc., still require the mask to be worn. Probably not at your desk if you're socially distanced. We've got our air conditioning. It's a bit cool in the building actually, going flat out to get the circulation of air. There are areas around the city, obviously, where you have to wear a mask. Still got to do it on public transport and aircraft and at terminal buildings and in taxis and so on, inside retail businesses. But you don't have to wear it if you're outside. You're in informal gatherings of any size. If you're at an event, indoors or outdoors, or if you're at indoor or outdoor hospitality venues. So it's kind of an uneasy balance of things. People say, why do I have to wear a mask if I go to the supermarket, but I can be dancing at a club and up close and personal and not have to wear it there? And it is a bit of a, you wonder about that a bit, but then I heard the explanation, and that is if you're elderly or you're vulnerable because you've got comorbidities, you can choose not to go out dining. You can choose, and you probably wouldn't be going to a nightclub anyway, but you can't choose whether or not you go to a supermarket. That's why it's basically to protect those people that are more vulnerable to COVID-19.
One of the other big changes we've seen is, of course, the arrival of Australians in Aotearoa, and soon it'll be more broadly people from across the globe. What is Auckland hoping this is going to look like for us as a city? Are we hoping this is going to be a tourism boon? Are there any sort of, I guess, hesitation about that? There's been quite a bit of criticism, particularly from environmental groups, about how perhaps as a city and as a country, we are really relying on tourism to pull us back to somewhere that maybe we don't want to be. What is your position on that? What do you think it's going to mean for Auckland?
Look, it is going to mean, and it will be gradual. I don't think it's going to be sudden. I think there'll be a general reluctance right around the world for people to travel on the basis, not just what's happening at the moment, but you know, what's the next variant going to look like? Will it be possible to get home if something goes wrong? So people, I think, will still be cautious about travelling to some degree, but will it bring life back to particularly the city centre? I really hope so. We've got international students coming back now. We've got people that are on working holiday visas coming back. We've got the Aussies. By the end of the month, we'll have people from a wide variety of countries. And, you know, I mean, that will be good in terms of those businesses that have suffered a pretty hefty downturn. Am I worried that we're going to be overwhelmed by tourists? No, I don't think that is a factor at the moment.
What about cruise ships? We've had quite a bit of discussion about what the cruise industry is going to look like. There's obviously very crucial, environmental impacts that it has on our waters here in Aotearoa. And there's been quite a bit of criticism about the potential rush back to having things like that. Obviously, we are a port city. What do you think about cruise ships returning?
Well, we're hardly rushing back because they haven't approved cruise ship visits yet. Cruise ship visits, the difficulty is, I mean, even pre-COVID, you know, from time to time you'd get an outburst of flu or gastroenteritis or something like that that in the close confines of a ship can spread right through the ship. So I think there's a degree of caution about it. But, you know, would it be good, you know, if you look at the bottom of Queen Street and the stores at the bottom of Queen Street, would it be good for them to have people back in the city, you know, eating, buying stuff in retail? Yeah, I think it would be good. But, you know, that's a more measured approach because of the other health considerations. But, you know, we were kind of at a very high level of tourism just before COVID. And there was a bit of a worry about, you know, the sustainability of that in terms of the pressure it was putting on, you know, the environment. I think you can get a decent sort of a balance there. But, you know, we've also got to think about the people that make their living, you know, whether it's in retail or, you know, cafeteria, bars, or it's taxi drivers or Uber drivers, or it's people that provide for holiday makers. These are people that have gone through a pretty hard time for a couple of years, and I don't begrudge them the fact that we're going to get people back, and I really welcome the fact that we'll have people back to enliven the city centre, because that's been pretty quiet and pretty, you know, pretty damaged for a period of time. So I'm in the camp of those that say it'll be bloody to have a few more people back around town, to have the international students back, to have the backpackers back, to have the you know, the international tourists arriving here. I think that'll be good for the city.
Well, we have obviously talked about this quite a few times, but COVID has left a big hole in the council's budget. Last week, we talked a little bit about how this is affecting transport, Auckland Transport in particular, obviously having some major financial cuts in the last wee while. But we're seeing that there's potentially more service cuts on the cards. Can you explain a little bit about what we could be seeing?
Yeah, well, look, what we've got at the moment, on top of the loss of income from COVID, which, as you're probably aware, was over a 3 to 4 year period, was about $900 million worth of lost revenue, ironically because 60% of the council's income comes not from rates, but non-rates revenue. So things like public transport fares, dividends from the ports and the airport, events that we run around the city and so on. On top of that, we've now had the compounding impact of inflation and interest rates, and that's putting a real squeeze on the council's overall budgetary position. It's you know, it's not dramatically bad, but it is creating real challenges. So what we look at, you know, I'm kind of reluctant to put general rate rises up much more than the you know, the 3.5%. In fact, that's what we consulted on, and that's what we're planning to do, because, you know, just like councils under pressure from inflation and interest rates and, you know, the oil, the fuel crisis, etc., so too is every Aucklander, and we're conscious of not putting too much pressure on people, but we've still got to run our services. So what do? We look at things that, you know, services that we're providing that may be less important or can be provided in other ways. We look at disposal of some of our surplus properties, you know, property that was bought for transport purposes and been sitting there with a bit of grass on it, but not doing much. And we're also looking at the support that we can get from central government and hoping in the budget there'll be a bit of a recognition of the pressure placed on public transport.
Now, obviously, the service cuts is one of the things. As you mentioned, rates is something people are concerned about, but service cuts is also a huge one. We're seeing quite a bit of concern from South Auckland that they might get the short end of the stick here. How are you going to make sure that that is not an inequitable way it rolls out?
Well, actually, if you look at things like the climate action targeted rate, you see that far from South Auckland missing out, we've put a lot of focus on improving services for South Auckland, planting street trees and park trees in South Auckland, which is, you know, got the lowest canopy cover in the city. And with the Community Connect scheme from the 1st of July, all those on a community services card will be getting 50% of whatever the normal bus fare is. And, you know, we're not quite sure yet how the government's budget is going to deal with that.
How are we going to make sure that it's not particular areas that are missing out?
Well, there's no reason at all to believe that South Auckland or disadvantaged areas of the city will miss out more than anywhere else in the city. There's no grounds for that concern at all.
Well, let's talk a little bit about something that, again, we've touched on in recent times, but we keep sort of finding out more about it, and we keep kind of, seeing how it's affecting people. This is the cost of living. Also, food prices, which we've seen really, really hike up recently. What's the impact that council is seeing on some of the support services that we've got out there? We have food banks, we have things like this in the city, but what are we actually seeing the shakedown look like?
Look, we haven't seen inflation at this level for 30 years, and we're probably looking at close to 7% inflation for the first quarter of this year. Again, not just a national problem, an international problem. Both the UK and the US are looking at 8% inflation. But that, combined with the petrol price increases, has really put pressure on not so much people that are pretty well off. They'll ride through any of these problems, but people that are living from day to day on their incomes. So it's what the government's trying to do predominantly. I mean, the half-price transport fares is very welcome to us. The taking off of some of the excise duties on fuel just for a three-month period, that's good. The 1st of April saw a variety of things that the government brought in, particularly boosting income for families and low-income earners. 1st of May, you get the winter fuel costs help. So I think the government, to be fair to the government, they are trying to target that assistance to the people that actually need the help. And as I said, my reluctance about pushing, you've got to do the rates, the targeted rate for climate change, because that's just going to be, unless we act on that, that's going to be hugely damaging to all of us. But we're trying to keep our general rate increase at a lower level, taking into account the pressure that places on some people. And we have particular schemes, of course, in place. Older people that have got a lot of money tied up in their property but no real income can defer their rates, and the money can come out of their estate. I think that's a sensible way of helping people that might be under particular pressure.
Well, thank you very much for your time this morning, Mayor Phil Goff. We'll talk to you again next week. Have another fantastic long weekend coming up.
Yeah, it's been pretty good, eh? Easter and then Anzac Day long weekend.
Exactly.
And then we hit that long period through the winter where we've got Matariki, though, this year.
We do. That's something to look forward to there.
Forward to.
For sure. Yeah. Fantastic. Okay, thank you so much.
Yep.
Bye.
Matewa. Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Thank you.